Kyle Flug. I am a program manager on the developer experiences team for Microsoft Edge. We're here to talk today about some of what's new in Microsoft Edge. I'll be your co-host today to talk about these features. And I'll be here primarily for the Q&A at the end of the session. Today, I'm with my colleague, Melanie Richards, who is going to be giving the presentation.
Hi, everyone. As Kyle mentioned, I'm Melanie Richards, a program manager on the Microsoft Edge web platform. Today, I want to share with you how we're moving the web forward with Microsoft Edge and Chromium. I'll start with our open source journey, as well as some updates for the web platform, and I'll share some brief notes for web applications and dev tools. And finally, I'll share with you an experimentation framework that you can use to try out the latest APIs. To find more resources for everything I share today, check out akms/build2020msedge. So let's get started with our open source journey. Last year, we shared that we would take on the Chromium open source project as the foundation for the new Microsoft Edge. We'd heard from developers that fragmentation between OS platforms and between browsers increased your implementation costs. So with our move to Chromium, we can provide a more consistent web platform across operating systems like Windows and Mac OS, and we can also contribute more directly to the open source community. So last year, we also shared our intent to take on open source for the long term, as well as to contribute to Chromium by default. So last year, Microsoft had made 400 commits into the Chromium project since our announcement in December 2018. 1 year later, we're now at over 3,000 commits into Chromium between browser UI, DevTools, the web platform, the V8 JavaScript engine, and Skia. And we are pleased to have collaborated with other engineers in the Chromium open source project across the web stack. Microsoft contributions range from Service Worker to DOM to Core Graphics, and even over 550 changes each in accessibility and DevTools code. Now, these numbers are actually from a few weeks ago. So DevTools, for example, is already over 600 commits into Chromium. And so behind all of these contributions is a dedication to the customer-driven web. As more activities move online, such as build, it becomes ever more critical to truly evolve the web in ways that meet the needs of those who have come to depend on it. And so for the Microsoft Edge team, that means listening to developers, consumers, enterprises, educators and students across a variety of channels. For developers, we want to understand how we can enable you to create rich experiences on top of the web for your customers. And so by listening to customers, we are moving things forward on the web platform and in other places across the browser. This has led to projects like UI automation support for Windows assistive technologies, spatial audio and HDR, and investments into web applications, such as the Run on OS Login API and improved push notification experience on Windows. So you can find more details for many of these projects on the Microsoft Edge Explainers repo on GitHub. We believe the evolution of the web is best served through standards bodies, so we start here with a proposal, and then we go and incubate in the appropriate channel. So for example, the W3C Web Incubation Community Group. All of the platform features that I'll share today are in collaboration with the standards bodies and the open source community, and they reflect contributions into Chromium. So we thank these folks for their continued partnership. And let's go to the demos, because a great example of that partnership is the controls refresh. So we know that the default form controls have long been a pain point for web developers, because you want good-looking controls that are easy to style and customize. So this is actually a long-term journey that we're embarking on with the standards bodies, but in the short term, there is an opportunity to partner up on a controls refresh within Chromium. So for example, the date picker was looking, you know, a little bit vintage, as well as the range scrubber here. And the color input control would just pop a default color window, which didn't feel super well integrated into web experiences. And so in partnership with other designers and developers in the Chromium project, we've given these controls a refresh for aesthetics, as well as touch capabilities. And accessibility was actually a key part of this project, because we want an inclusive web. So we worked on improved color contrast, and the controls now work better with assistive technologies, for example, the keyboard. So right now I'm actually scrubbing around in this color range here using my arrow keys and hitting enter to select a shade. The new controls also support Windows high contrast, which is a really widely used assistive technology that enables the user to render the entire operating system into colors of their choosing. So we'll turn that on. And applications need to write code in order to support this mode from the operating system. So we worked with the Chromium open source community to bring native web content support for high contrast to the web. So these controls have picked up the user system colors, as well as other semantic content on the page. Now, I have done nothing to this demo in order to prepare it for high contrast mode. All of this just happens automatically. But we know there are cases where you might want to tweak your styles for force color modes, such as high contrast. So we've been working with other members of the W3C to create new standards for doing so. So let's take a look at the CSS that we would need in order to make this current navigation item look a little bit more current. So we would use the force colors media query here in order to target this mode. And then we would use the force color adjust property and set that to none. And this will remove any user agent styles. And then we would use CSS system colors in order to add color back to our element. So let's save that, do a refresh here. And now this navigation item is looking a little bit more current and visually separated from some of the other navigation items. So both of these features are available today in builds of new Microsoft Edge. That includes the controls refresh and support for Windows high contrast. Now, in addition to accessibility, we've also heard from our customers that privacy is top of mind for them as they browse the web. So in Microsoft Edge 79, we shipped a new feature called tracking prevention, which protects users from cross-site tracking from sites that they haven't visited and might not recognize. We also wanted to preserve broader compatibility with the web as we did this. And while we largely achieved our goal, we did notice a small number of sites breaking in certain ways, in certain modes of tracking prevention due to storage restrictions on embedded third-party widgets. So for example, we're here today on an article site that has embedded Contoso Social comments, and the current user is signed into Contoso Social. But Contoso Social can't access the identity cookie for the user, so it's giving them the signed out experience. So what Contoso Social could do is leverage the storage access API that we've been helping introduce support for into Chromium. So this basically enables embedded third-party widgets to request access to their storage in this embedded context. So what Contoso Social would do is call document.requestStorageAccess, and this will pop a prompt to the user, and then it will return, this promise will return based on how the user responded to the request. So let's go ahead and call that now. The user says allow, and now they're getting the signed in experience. So it's worth noting that the first few times in our implementation, production implementation, that the resource requests access to its storage, we're gonna go ahead and auto grant that, and that is to prevent the user from being prompted too many times up front. So this will be ready for you to play with very soon in preview channels of Microsoft Edge. We've also heard from developers that they want to take advantage of the exciting new opportunities afforded to them by foldable multi-screen devices. So let's say that you were creating a gallery site for imagery, and typically you might render the image detail view in the middle of the viewport, like so. You know, makes sense. But if you were to do the same thing on a dual screen device, for example, the Surface Duo coming out later this year, in some cases, that might actually render across the scene of the device, which, you know, not ideal. So we can actually take full advantage of the multiple screens on this foldable device. Using new foldable device primitives that we've been incubating with the W3C, you can use CSS to target the left-hand side of the device for your gallery grid, and then the right-hand screen for your image detail view. And so let's peek at the code here. So we would use the spanning media query in order to target this mode. So here we're targeting a single fold device in the vertical orientation. And then we're combining that with some new environment variables that give you the geometry and the layout of the renderable surfaces. And we are also proposing in the W3C a JavaScript API so that you can enumerate over the renderable screens. So I'm showing this actually like in an emulation site right now, but worth noting that we will have emulators built right into the Chromium DevTools, so you can try this out in Microsoft Edge without actually needing a special device. And if you'd like to ship an experience using this prototype API, I'll share an experimentation framework that you can use later on in this presentation in order to do that. So moving the web forward also means solving familiar use cases in more efficient ways. We'd heard from our media partners that providing a low latency media editing experience on the web can be challenging. If you go the server side route, well, servers can be expensive and server queues can add wait times for your communities. And then on the client side, well, it can take 2 hours to process edits to a 2 hour long video, essentially in real time. To address this, we prototyped the Media Blob API, which enables client-side media editing, such as trimming and concatenation. We piloted this prototype with Flipgrid, which is a platform that enables students to create 3-second videos to share with their parents and teachers. And what Flipgrid saw with the Media Blob API is that processing edits to media was 40 times faster, going from 3-second processing to 768 millisecond processing. So with near instant turnaround, Flipgrid was able to reduce the wait times on their communities, as well as to reduce the cost and the load on their media workers. So if you have a similar use case, please join us in the W3C Web Incubation Community Group, where we're iterating on the idea and would love your feedback for the production API. Speaking of gains in media editing, we're also investing in fundamentals across the board. So prior to Chromium, we had 100% score on the HTML5 accessibility benchmark. Due to our contributions around controls, keyboard navigation, and UI automation semantics, we're now back at 100%, and any Chromium-based browser can take advantage of these investments as well. And in performance, we have prototyped a delegated Inktrail API, which enables smoother web-based inking. This reduces inking latency by several frames to no more than 2 frames of latency, essentially a match for direct ink on Windows. And we've also improved battery life by leveraging the Microsoft PlayReady CDN and contributing performance optimizations upstream into Chromium. On our lab devices, we've noticed an additional 1 hour and 54 minutes of media playback on average on sites that use the PlayReady CDN. And 36 of these minutes can be attributed to improvements to reduce media caching and constrain high resolution timers in Chromium. And so what that all means for you is that we continue to invest in power efficient media playback with the Chromium community. So stay tuned for more advancements. Due to its consistency across operating systems, the web platform is a great option for app developers who want to reduce their implementation costs. So there are two ways to take advantage of the web platform here. You can either build your app on top of the web, or you can embed web content into a native app. So progressive web apps, or PWAs, are applications that are built on top of the web platform. For PWA developers, we've teamed up with Google and Intel on Project Fugu to bring native app-like capabilities to the web. A great example of this is the Shortcuts API, which would enable a PWA developer to specify common tasks as menu items that come from the app launcher icon. So the image that I have in the slide here is of Twitter's hosted web app using WinRT APIs, but they're excited to try out the Shortcuts API, and we hope you play with it as well as it becomes available soon in preview channels of Microsoft Edge. In addition to native app-like capabilities, we also know that your PWAs need to feel native on the operating system. So we've been working on a great experience for PWAs on Windows. To learn more about how we're investing in PWAs, watch our session, Building Rich App Experiences with Progressive Web Apps. And I mentioned that you can also embed web content into a native app. This is done using the WebView2 control, which uses the same Chromium web platform as the Microsoft Edge browser. To learn more about how you can do this, watch our session, WebView2, bringing the best of the web to your native apps. And consistent across WebView2, PWAs, and the Microsoft Edge browser are our dev tools, which likewise use Chromium as their foundation. So we want to empower all developers here at Microsoft, so we've been partnering with the Chromium open source community to make the dev tools more inclusive. This includes making them localizable, and they now support 11 languages, and making accessibility updates across the board. We've also introduced a 3D view so you can visualize your Zindex stacking in three-dimensional space, helping you kind of solve problems where you might see Zindex 99999. So we have a lot of exciting news around DevTools, so please be sure to watch our session, Microsoft Edge DevTools for Web Developers. And if you're curious how these integrate with the end-to-end tooling ecosystem, you can catch our session, End-to-End Web Development with VS Code and Microsoft Edge. So we want to keep you productive day-to-day, and we also want to make it easy to experiment with what's next. The new Microsoft Edge browser has various preview channels that you can use to try out APIs locally before they hit stable release. But what if what you actually wanted to do is ship an experience on your site to all users in Microsoft Edge using an experimental technology that's not broadly available yet? Well, now you can with the Microsoft Edge Origin Trials Program. You can register your site, aka Origin, in order to test drive an experimental feature for a set length of time. So prototypes that haven't been enabled for the general web yet will work on your site, enabling you to give early feedback and shape the production API. It's our intent that any new API would have an Origin trial to go along with it, so we're going to continuously update this portal with new trials that are available. So for example, you can register today to try out pen button events or a policy to control when the virtual keyboard displays on the screen, but we will very, very soon have a foldable device primitives Origin trial for you to play along with. So I want to invite all of you in joining us in moving the web forward, whether that's registering for an Origin trial, watching our other sessions and playing with the features, or simply sharing what's top of mind for you. We want to know year round how we can make the web great so that you can build a rich experience for your users on top of the web platform. So we believe the web is an incredible resource that must evolve to meet the needs of the people who've come to depend on it. As web developers, you play a critical role in the long-term vibrancy of the web. Let's build that future web together. Thank you so much for joining me today, and you can find resources for everything I shared at AKMS/build2020msedge. And now please stick around for Q&A because I think we have some time for questions.
Awesome, thanks so much, Melanie. And thanks everyone in the audience. If you do have questions, feel free to enter those in the chat at any time. As we wait for some questions to accumulate here, Melanie, I was curious if you had, there's one thing I'm really excited about is that as Edge starts to roll out to Windows customers in the coming weeks, there's really never been a better time to start preparing for Edge. And so I'm curious if you had any recommendations for developers who are thinking about how to get their sites ready for Edge or whether they should think about testing for Edge at all.
Oh yeah, definitely. So you can download if you want to get the new Microsoft Edge sooner than, as it rolls out to other folks, you can go to microsoftedge.com/installer to start playing with the new Microsoft Edge. And we encourage that you do test cross-browser, whether that's in Chromium-based browsers or those browsers that are based on other rendering engines, just to make sure that your sites look great and work great for all of your users. So we expect that as far as the web platform goes, most things will be consistent between, Chrome and Microsoft Edge and certain other Chromium-based browsers. But there are cases where, one browser may decide to roll something out a little later than another or may have an additional feature within their browser. So we do recommend just checking in different browsers. But we do expect that the reducing that fragmentation between rendering engines will be helpful to implementation costs.
Awesome. And then as you look at, what's next for the browser between all the features that you've talked about here or things that might be happening in web standards today, is there something that you're most excited about personally, either for Edge or for the web specific or in general?
Yeah, actually, one of the things I'm most excited about is one of the DevTools features that's coming up. So I didn't address this in my particular session, although it's in the DevTools session, but we will have a simulator in the DevTools for high contrast mode. And I'm super excited about that because I think it will make it way easier for developers to test enforced color modes. So if you're on Windows, I know for some folks who don't need high contrast, it can be challenging to render, your entire operating system in high contrast in order to test. So with this feature, you can just render just one, tab in this mode to kind of like preview. And then if you don't have a Windows machine, for example, if you're on a Mac, you can still emulate through the DevTools. So I think that's going to be really exciting and a great boon for accessibility. And then as far as the web platform goes, So I'm actually collaborating with other folks from different browsers and, you know, other folks in the web community in the privacy CG on closing privacy gaps in the web platform and finding more privacy-preserving techniques for valid use cases. So I think that's going to be very exciting because there will be new APIs that are really purpose-built for what you're trying to do instead of, you know, having to like join other technologies together for something that maybe it wasn't meant for. So I think that's going to be really exciting for web developers.
Yeah, very exciting. And actually, you know, you mentioned some of the high contrast features. There's actually a great question in the chat on high contrast. Jason is wondering, will using high contrast override the site CSS on the website?
Yes and no. It kind of depends. So there are a few properties that it will override. So these are mostly around basically properties related to color, stroke and fill and SVG, and box shadow as well, because we did find that even if we did override colors to provide the colors that the user needed, sometimes like box shadow would actually be distracting or hard to read against. So there's actually a link in the AKMS /build2020 MS Edge to the specification that defines force color adjust. So you can actually find the short list of everything that's overridden there. But like for other things, like for example, your layout, anything like that, we're not going to override that. It's pretty much just color and other properties that are closely tied and related to color.
Great. Philip in the chat was asking about some of the dual screen features you talked about, and specifically, you know, when you're targeting CSS on a multi-display device, what happens if you're on a single screen device? If I target, you know, one right side display, what will that do on a single screen device?
So basically, like the media query wouldn't resolve if you're not on, if you're not in a mode that like would have the dual screen. So basically you would just get whatever fallback CSS that you wrote, you know, for your base experience.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm just scrolling through the list of questions here. There's a question from Alistair in the chat. Is there an Edge Selenium driver available?
You know, I believe there is. I think, Kyle, you might be the best person to answer that question.
Okay, I actually, yes, so there is one. Hold on, let me pull up the link. I will paste that in the chat, but we do have web drivers. It's called Edge Driver available on our developer site. So Alistair, I'll post that in a reply to your comment in the chat. David's asking, are all the new features mentioned either reflecting new existing web standards or are they being proposed through web standards bodies?
Yes, so they do reflect new web standards. So there's, you know, kind of different levels, I think, of maturity. So, most of them are, you know, pretty much ready to go and start using.
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, we've talked about since we introduced the new Edge and that, you know, we feel pretty strongly about as an organization is, you know, even though we're part of the Chromium community for our implementation, we really continue to believe that open or the web standards community is the best place to innovate new capabilities in the web. So, you know, as a general rule, that's where we'll continue to evolve things.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, some of the things that I talked about, so like spatial audio and HDR, that used to depend on proprietary APIs in the Edge HTML version of Microsoft Edge. And so like this time around, you know, as you mentioned, super serious about driving things through the appropriate standards bodies. We took that instead to the media capabilities API specification and kind of aligned on it there. So yeah, I think like you should feel that these APIs are safe to use because they have been designed in truly in collaboration with other members of the standards body organizations.
I love the focus on standards. Paul's asking in the chat if there's a difference in the way Edge Chromium works compared to Chrome when it comes to on-premises Windows authentication, and if there's anywhere they can find help links on that.
You know, I think I'm not the best person to answer that question, but if you want to reach out to us on Twitter at MSEdgeDev, I'm sure the subject matter expert will love to help you out.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'd recommend the same thing. Go ask on MS Edge Dev. The other link, Paul, that you might check out is if you go to aka.ms/deploy-edge, all one word, then there's a lot of enterprise documentation there, including things about identity and authentication that may be useful. But feel free to reach out to us on Twitter if you can't find what you need. One more question here from the chat. Hold on, I lost my question I was looking for. Oh, here's a question from Mary. How do you stop the storage access request API that you mentioned for being used for dark patterns on the web?
You know, I'm trying to like kind of think through what the attack vector would be there. I'm sure the folks who are working on storage access API right now are like, I have some ideas. But, you know, we're putting everything in control of the user, making it super clear about what's happening, what they're, you know, granting access to. And so we hope that this will, you know, make it clear to the user what's happening so they can really be in control of their data as they're being requested for it.
Great. Yeah, users in control is always a great principle. I see a couple questions about Edge coming to Linux, you know, a couple comments about the web page says coming soon. How soon is soon? So I can actually take that one. I think the short version here is we don't have a date to share this time, but we've definitely heard the feedback loud and clear from the community that, you know, this is important, especially for developers and for testing. So it's on the way. It's real. You know, eagle-eyed viewers may have noticed a couple, you know, Easter eggs in the keynotes, but that's something we're not ready to quite talk about the date yet. Rest assured, as soon as it's worth your time, we will let you know. A question about PWAs coming from the chat from Benjamin. The question is, are PWAs a key focus for you in terms of Edge as a platform?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as part of like wanting to create a consistent web platform, wanting to reduce implementation costs for folks, we really are focused on PWAs, and we think that this is going to be a great option for democratizing application development on top of the web. And yeah, I really hope it will help provide a great, smooth experience for building applications for various platforms. So looking forward to investing in bringing native app-like capabilities to the web, as well as like making sure that PWAs really feel at home on the OS platforms.
Great. Well, thanks, Melanie. I'm seeing the 1 minute warning pop up in my chat over here. So, you know, just to be conscious of time here, are there any homework items you'd like to assign, or, you know, next steps you'd recommend for people here who might have follow-up questions or, you know, be curious about other sessions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everybody asks like great questions. So if you'd like to know more about the technologies that I've shared today, you can go to akms/build2020msedge to find many more resources. Whole long list of links there. And please do feel free to reach out to us at MS Edge Dev on Twitter. We really do want to hear your feedback. Super serious about that. So thank you so much for providing that.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for joining today. You know, as mentioned, if you have follow-up questions or if we weren't able to get to your question in the time here, feel free to reach out to us on MS Edge Dev or check out the URL that Melanie mentioned there. And we'd love to continue to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you.